Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Today, our guest is Zainus Cook, New York State Certified Peer Support Specialist. Our host is Maura Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves. Peers Like Me is a regularly updated podcast developed by people who have been severely and personally impacted by mental health issues. For many people in this situation, seeking to be understood and having hope for recovery is often elusive. Peers Like Me podcast aims to address these barriers by educating listeners on all the different ways people can seek help, understanding, and hope through interviewing our guests about their journey of recovery, their community leadership, and successful lives despite their own issues related to mental health. Peers Like Me podcast also envisions increased understanding by our community, neighbors, and coworkers to have each one of us truly be included in our community and hope for recovery and living very fulfilling lives.
Hi, my name is Maura Kelly. Welcome to Peers Like Me podcast. I am the West New York Independent Living Behavioral Peer Liaison, and we're here to talk to Zainus Cook in the Mental Health Peer Connection Job Club on welfare inheritance. Zainus, welcome to Peers Like Me. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Good. Zainus, we've known each other for what?
Going 6 years now.
6 years you've been working. What do you do here at the West New York Independent Living?
Well, I work with Western New York Independent Living MHPC's work support program. I'm a New York certified peer support specialist. Also got a degree in mental health and CASAC.
Okay.
And what's important is I deal with the people here who want to go from poverty to at least just employment.
Okay.
You're not going to come out of poverty just because you got a job. You get a job, right. A family dollar, that's not going to get you out of poverty.
Right.
But it's going to give you a work ethic and get you a chance to see some money that you earned.
Right.
As opposed to the criminal element or welfare to work.
Okay. So most of your time is working with people with behavioral health issues?
Yes, mental health.
Okay. So mental health. And what have you discovered? So you have at least over 6 years experience,
right,
working with other people, and then I'm sure you have personal experience if you're a certified peer.
Right.
So,
well, I know one of the main issues, and especially in minority communities, is a thing called dysthymia. It's a low level of depression every day,
mm-hmm,
and then it can result into major depression.
Right.
Because you get so accustomed to being broke and in the state of poverty that Facebook, Instagram, and all these things show this glamorous lifestyle and the rappers and all the movies. And so you feel like you left out. And this is why people be on their phone so much, because they have in the diagnosis now called FOMO, fear of missing out. If you don't get your phone as soon as you get up there, check on your Facebook page or your Instagram page, or did I get an email?
Yeah, or how many hits did you get?
Right. And so all of this is confusing, but it also is another type of stimulus, because it gets a person, I could get myself together. Well, welfare is not going to get you together. And a lot of people feel like, if I get my SSI, I graduate from welfare to another level of poverty.
Okay, so where does someone decide, I'm going to apply for welfare? How does that happen?
It comes through what you call community networking. Somebody says, just go down there. You need a proof of address. You need a letter from your landlord, blah, 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 blah. And they'll let you get on. Now, what happens is when a person don't have nothing and you stand with somebody, because if you don't have nothing, you stand with somebody.
What do you mean? You have nothing.
When you have no money, no income, no nothing.
Right.
This is what welfare really is. It's temporary assistance. Mm-hmm. It's not permanent assistance.
But is it permanent assistance for many?
And from some people's family, they've inherited welfare. Grandma was on welfare, mom was on welfare, now their child is on welfare, or the woman. And primarily in the black community, in the minority communities, period, it's primarily women with children who will end up on welfare.
So it's interesting, in my culture, Irish Catholic, middle class, my previous generation went to a secondary college. They might not have finished, but that education was instilled growing up that was the proper thing. So you're saying in your culture, in this culture, the black culture, welfare is the inherited thing. Welfare is one, it's just expected after one generation.
And this depends on what kind of dynamics you was brought up. I was brought up in this two-family household. Right, my father worked at Bethlehem Steel. My mother was managing a household. I'm 66 years old. It's an environment that the guy right next door, he lives with his mother, and it's him and two other kids, and she don't have a husband.
Right.
And so if she's not working or she's not educated to the level of another family, then she's going to have to get some kind of income to start to feed these kids. Most people don't go to get on welfare just because they want to don't do nothing.
No.
They don't have no outlet right now, and nobody's going to keep loaning you money for you and your kids.
And
nobody's going to take you in if you don't have something to bring to the table.
Right, but is it like a conscious decision or just part of life? Like, you know, I can't fend, so I'm gonna go get out of
that's where it starts.
Right.
But then a person can get very comfortable on just having a little bit. See, we can get sick and get comfortable being
right,
sick.
Right, I know.
Being broke is a temporary condition. Being poor is a state of mind.
Yeah.
And some people become poor even if they got a lot.
Right.
Because of the state of mind. And people who don't have nothing, you can say they seem so happy.
Right.
You know, but the reality is they learn how to be happy within themselves, and a little bit of money that they get, they just become accepted of it.
Right.
And so it's like, well, I get my check on the first, I get some food stamps, I can feed these kids. So you'll see everybody getting their stuff, and they'll stock up on their groceries like a person that's getting ready for a snowstorm, because they want to make sure they got enough supplies to last for these kids. And so they're living from month to month, just like a lot of people live from check to check.
So I remember in my very struggling with my mental illness, I didn't want to pay off my student loan.
Right.
And if I was declared permanently disabled, I wouldn't have to pay it off.
Right.
So I talked to the doctor, and he goes, well, Maura, I don't think you're permanently disabled. And I was upset that he thought that.
You got mad.
I was upset that
he's disappointed. He's like, hold it, this is supposed to work easy.
Right, yeah. So that's...
But see, these is all the little loopholes and the little tricks to keep us in poverty. Even the person right now in today's society, we don't have a middle class anymore.
Right.
We have the wealthy and those who's just struggling. The middle class now is the ones who's going from paycheck to paycheck. They have a house that they own. They're going from mortgage payment. And if they get behind on the balloon payment or taxes or water bills or all of these other little loopholes to take your property... Just like back in the old days, the bank would come with a balloon payment and say, oh, if you can't pay it, we're taking the house. Right.
Okay, so you're here over 6 years.
And this is what I've seen happen.
So people come in here, like our system, our government, we have a program that sends people here to say, hey, like, let's change the narrative here.
Right.
So
that's the blueprint.
Right.
But the reality changes because now where people used to could get on welfare and stay on welfare for good, they got a 5-year. Then after a while, you don't get finances. You only get stamps and Medicaid.
Okay.
Now, everybody bills Medicaid. And at the same time, Medicaid is in place. But the person who's working is the ones who pay into the Medicaid.
I know.
And so it creates some resentment to some people because they feel like they're paying for these other people to just have a menial, nothing life. But the reality is every life is worth something.
Right.
And if some people knew better, they would do better. So when they come to programs like this, the stigma has been
removed.
So
peer-to-peer.
That's the peer.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And see, when they come to enhancement program and programs like work support, it's meeting a peer that's been through being on that side of the table, being a person who's saying, well, I'm getting welfare. And we have people who work here right now that once was on an enhancement program. Enhancement program is welfare to work.
Right.
So it's like you could, at one time, you didn't have to go to work. You didn't have to go to no enhancement program.
Right.
You just collect your benefits, and you got your check, and you got your food stamps. Back when they used to have paper food stamps.
Right, and this is a program that we started, right?
Right.
So the idea of just collecting and then, okay, here you go. One, two, three, here's society. Good luck with mortgage, work, you know.
And the drugs. And the drug scene, don't forget, whenever there's depression, this is why these poor white people and poor black people and poor Hispanic people are on drugs, because they want to escape the trauma of being less than, right. feeling like a failure, self-esteem issues, mental health issues. Now, in the last 6 years, the stigma that's attached to mental health has decreased a lot because people are becoming more aware right. that we got to talk about our feelings.
Right.
Because we have a society right now, if you get 10 of your friends, I guarantee you four right. or five of them, if they get diagnosed, you'll say, wow, that person got right. some mental complications too.
Right. So how does people just get, like, they get a job, how do they, I guess, not be taking the drugs to deal with all the poverty stuff, you know? How?
Well, I guess, well, we even here at Western New York Independent Living, we have Addict to Addict, we have mm-hmm. several programs that we can refer people to.
Yeah.
But the reality is nobody's going to get no help, not mental health recovery, not substance use disorder recovery, unless they want it.
Right.
And until you say, I'm going to change my life, I want to get better, then you start right. working along with your peer counselor right. or your substance use disorder counselor.
So a lot of people that I talk to say, I don't want, I can't work because if I work, my rent is going to, I'm going to have to pay more for rent or I won't get enough food stamps or SNAP. So right. I can't work. So what do we do?
If you make $1 too much, you lose the food stamp benefit.
Right.
So, and you won't be qualified, in some cases, for Medicaid.
Right.
And we know that health insurance in this country is through the roof.
Yeah.
We pay for our health insurance because we got benefits here at Western right. New York Independent Living. However, it's co-payment, and the medications
and
are through the
they're
roof.
They're choosing,
with the
you can't really, right. you're limited in your choices of getting
that's right.
services.
That's right.
But how do people get off of this stuff?
Again. The only way you can get off of it is through education and to become self-aware that I do not need to just stay stuck in poverty. Because, see, like I was explaining to you, some people think, oh, if I get my SSI, because a lot of times they'll
right.
come in welfare to work, they say, well, I'm not working because I applied for SSI and I'm going to get my
right.
SSI. And we know 5 out of 10 times,
right.
the majority of the time you're going to get denied.
Right.
And most of the time a person might get their SSI on the maybe second or third appeal.
Right.
If they qualify. And in some cases, they're never going to get SSI.
Isn't it, like, sort of awkward that to get assistance because you have a disability, you have to, like, prove to the government how bad your life is, how
right.
terrible it is?
Because of the abuse.
Yeah.
So you don't forget, SSI and SSDI is a system of government insurance to ensure that a person
right.
who's disabled can survive.
Right.
And not survive in a luxury life,
right, right.
but in a poverty life.
Right.
Because if you get $1,000 a month, which it used to be $800, $900,
right.
let's just round it off, $1,000 a month. In 1 year, you got $12,000. That's very deep poverty.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're not going
right.
to be able to move out of your terrible place.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get a car. You're not going to be able to have no luxury type of life.
Right.
So what people do is they take that money that they get monthly and they end up doing something negative
mm-hmm.
with it.
So, what's the answer? Just buckle down and...
No. The answer is you cannot just depend on the government to
right.
get you out of poverty. You have to make a sacrifice like the Homestead Act.
Right.
If you don't work, you don't eat. Well, in reality, if you don't go ahead and get further education,
right.
if you don't learn about your mental illness, if you don't learn how to break the cycle of poverty,
right.
you stay in it.
So, you are an example
right.
of success. And you... So, the peer-to-peer thing is... You can say, hey, if
right.
I did it, you can do it too.
That's right.
All right.
And I will assist you while you're doing it.
Right.
Where nobody maybe was there
right.
to assist
you're
me.
Not
but
all
I had people to encourage me.
Right.
I had people that had my back. If
yep.
I was like, yo, you going to school? You
right.
going to school at this late age?
Yep.
yep. I'm going to college. And I'm going to graduate.
Yeah.
And I did. Got the degree. Did internship here. And I ended up working here.
Yeah, that's great.
And my motive is I help a lot of people to the point where they get a chance to see they self, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to
right.
don't try to put yourself at a pace with me because you'd have to get 6 years on your side. Because I didn't just come in here and all,
right.
okay, everything's great.
Right.
I came in, I paid my dues, I worked,
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot of stuff. And the main important thing is I learned about what the need of the people were and what did I have in common with it.
Right.
Because it's very easy to get comfortable with a little of nothing.
Right.
Because you know what? It's always somebody to compare yourself to. It's like, well, they don't even get welfare.
Right.
And then welfare, people say, well, I don't get welfare. I get SSI.
Right.
Like, wow, you graduated to
right.
to another level of
right.
poverty. And it's really, it's a mind game
right.
to that people get trapped in because they feel like, well, there's nothing else I could do. I'm not going back
right.
to school at this late age.
So maybe we cast aside judgment and say, how can I learn from this person? What can I, what can I take to make my life better or improved, or so I'm okay with my life,
right,
and not be secretive or hiding, or, you know, don't tell anyone I'm doing this, or, being transparent. How can I be authentic and not alone and learn from other people, not less than or more than?
See, what a lot of people don't want sometimes for nobody to see that they're not doing as good as, like when you go to a high school reunion, you haven't been in that school for 20 years, they want to see, what did you accomplish?
Right.
You say they want to see each other, but it's still that rat race, that competition is like, oh, how many kids you got? I ain't have no kids. It's like, oh, you ain't had no kids, what's wrong? Well, that's not it, because at one time people was judged oh, you're not fertile, you don't have no kids. But now it's about, I've deferred that because my career comes first, and I just didn't have no kids.
Right.
Because some people would say right now, I don't want to bring kids into this messed up world we're at right now. Because it's really messed up. Yeah. But it's still the world that God has allowed us to have.
Right.
So we got to make the best of what we got. And then the ones who've learned from their own mistakes and learned how to manage their own mental illness and mental deficiencies, they've learned how to make life work for them as opposed to working against them.
Right.
But that's because they begin to participate in a treatment.
Right.
See, a psychiatrist said, take this, take that, taste this, and they usually over-medicate you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to work with your doctor to get it tapered off so you get that little fine balance and say, I can work with this.
Right.
And I feel better, and I'm functioning.
Right.
And most people, they were taught, whatever the doctor says, that's it. Exactly. And written in stone is the gospel. Yeah. And it's like, and a lot of times the doctors, especially in psychiatrists, because it's not an exact science.
Right.
So it's a hit and miss. And sometimes people get improper diagnosis and wrong medicine.
Yeah. So, well, thank you very much,
James. You're welcome, young lady.
If people want to learn and grow and make that decision, where can they go to get services here? What can they do?
Okay, they can come here, go to the atrium and ask for...
Okay, Zanis Cook.
Yeah, Zanis Cook at Work Support, MHPC.
Mental Health Peer Connection.
Right, and I would help guide them on what they might need. Because they might need a life coach. Right. They might need benefit advisors. They might need further education. So we're a vocational program.
Okay, so we're located in Buffalo.
3108 Main Street.
And it's right near the LaSalle train station.
Correct.
It's Main and Windspear, so it's on the bus route.
Right. And this is another thing. Our phone number here is
716-836-0822.
My extension is 533 for work support.
Okay,
I help people primarily with finding education and work. And we help them with resumes and all that. But they will call that number and ask to speak to an intake person who would help them with a series of questions on where they need specific
Help.
Because
we're not really a walk-in center, right?
Right. Like, but the job club is.
Right, okay,
The job club is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 to 4, and on Friday from 9 to 2.
Okay, and then there's an email. You have an email that people could email you at, too,
So it's zcook at Western New York Independent Living. That's Wynyl, WNYIL.org.
Okay, so it's zcook at WNYIL.org.
Correct.
Thank you, Zanis.
You're welcome, ma'am.
What a pleasure to talk to you.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, too. Thanks for having
me. Hopefully someone will hear this and learn and grow. I know I did.
Yes, I'll be more than glad to help.
You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health, sponsored by Western New York Independent Living, Inc., with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Zanis Cook, New York State Certified Peer Support Specialist. Our host has been Maura Kelly.